A closed system does not depend on interactions from external groups to sustain itself. Although few systems actually take this form, some of the classical approaches treated organizations as closed systems. The assumption was that if managers improved internal processes, the organization will succeed. Clearly, however, all organizations are open systems, dependent on inputs from the outside world, such as raw materials, human resources, capital, outputs to the outside world that meet the market demands for goods, services, and ministries. The organizational system requires inputs which are transformed in the organization into outputs which are received out into the external environment. The environment reacts to these outputs through a feedback loop, which then becomes an input for the next cycle of the system. The process continues to repeat itself for the life of the system. The closed system focus of the classical theorist emphasized the internal efficiency of the organization. That is, these perspectives addressed only improvements to the transformational process. Efficiency is the ratio of outputs to inputs. Systems theory highlights another important dimension for managers. That is effectiveness. Effectiveness is the degree to which the organization's output corresponds to the needs and wants of the external environment. The external environment includes groups such as customers, suppliers, competitors, and regulatory agencies. Even a firm that has mastered Taylor's scientific management techniques and becomes extremely efficient is vulnerable if it does not consider the effectiveness of its outputs. Systems theory also emphasizes that an organization is one level in a series of subsystems. Again, systems theories point out that each subsystem is a component of the whole and is interdependent with other systems. Unlike scientific management proponents, which say one best way, systems theory suggests that many different combinations of subsystems, ideas, and methods can lead to the same goal. The validity of this principle is clear in many businesses today. And then synergy, which we mentioned earlier. Systems theory also popularized the concept of synergy, which states that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The classical theorists, such as Taylor and Fayol, were attempting to identify, as we've seen, the one best way for managers to operate in a variety of situations. If universal principles could be found, then becoming a good manager would essentially involve learning the principles and how to apply them. Unfortunately, things were not to be that simple. Researchers soon found that some of the classical principles, such as Fayol's unity of command, that is, each person should report to only one boss, could sometimes be violated with positive results. Consequently, contingency theory began to develop. Contingency theory is a viewpoint that argues that appropriate managerial action depends on the particular parameters of the situation. Hence, rather than seeking universal principles that apply to every situation, contingency theory attempts to identify contingency principles that prescribe actions to take depending upon the characteristics of the situation. One of the major pioneering studies that established the contingency viewpoint was conducted in the 1950s by a research team headed by Joan Woodward, an industrial sociologist at South Essex College of Technology in Great Britain. The study of 100 British firms, which differ in size and product lines, was aimed at determining whether the better performing companies adhered more closely to the classical principles, such as unity of command, than did companies with average and below average performances. When the comparisons reveal no major differences in the company's use of classical principles, the researchers began to look elsewhere in their data for an explanation of performance differences. They decided to explore the type of technology used by the companies. The researchers divided the companies into three categories: unit or small batch, that is, products custom made to customer specification; large batch, mass production, that is, products produced in large amounts, mainly by assembly lines; and continuous process, that is, products produced in a non-interrupted flow, as in an oil refinery or chemical production. When they considered these differences, patterns related to performance began to emerge. The researchers found that successful companies operated somewhat differently depending on their technological category. For example, small batch and large batch companies differ in the number of layers in the hierarchy and the number of subordinates reporting to managers at various levels. These findings supported the contingency viewpoint that appropriate action by managers often depend on and are contingent upon the situation. Now, to be fair, Fayol and most of the other classical theorists recognized that some judgment was needed in applying their various principles. Still, they emphasized universal principles and were rather vague about when the principles might not apply. Given that management is a complex endeavor, innovative approaches are constantly needed to help advance our knowledge base of management science and management theory. Some new approaches developing the major viewpoints in research and managerial practice show that they're effective. Other new ideas wither after investigation indicate that they're not living up to their promise. One recent perspective that has gained attention can be best termed as Japanese management approach, since it focuses on the aspect of management in Japan that may be appropriate for adoption in the United States. Interest in Japanese management has arisen because of recent admirable success of Japanese companies, particularly in manufacturing such items as televisions, video cassette recorders, and computer printers. On the basis of his research, both American and Japanese management approaches, management expert William Ochi, O-C-H-I, has outlined what he has identified as Theory Z. Theory Z combines positive aspects of American and Japanese management into a modified approach aimed at increasing U.S. managerial effectiveness while remaining compatible with the norms and values of American society and culture. The Theory Z approach involves giving workers job security, including them in some decision-making, emphasizing group responsibility, increasing quality, establishing gradual advancement policies, more informal controls, broader career paths, and showing greater concern for employees' work and non-work well-being. Each major viewpoint, as we have discussed, has added important ideas to current knowledge about management, and in the process has changed the way that managers think about and behave in organizations. Let's perhaps just summarize some of this, these main innovative contributions of these different viewpoints as we have noted. For example, think of the classical, which we discussed early on over on tape number 4, the classical viewpoint of management theory. What are some innovative contributions that have been noted because of the classical viewpoint in management theory? Well, I think some of these could be perhaps mentioned like this. Innovative contributions would include, number one, it highlights the need for a scientific approach to management. Secondly, it certainly points out that work methods often can be improved through study. It identifies a number of important principles that are used in running organizations efficiently. And certainly it emphasizes the potential importance of pay as a motivator. These are some of the innovative contributions of the classical viewpoint. What are some of the innovative contributions of the behavioral viewpoint? I think perhaps these could be summarized as follows. Number one, it spotlights the managerial importance of such factors as communication, group dynamics, motivation, and leadership. Secondly, it articulates practical applications of behavioral studies. Thirdly, it draws on the findings of a number of disciplines such as management, psychology, sociology, anthropology, and economics. And then fourthly, it highlights the importance of organization members as active human resources rather than as passive tools. And then what about the quantitative viewpoint of management theory? I think some of the innovative contributions of the quantitative viewpoint would be these. First, it provides quantitative aids to decision making. Secondly, it develops quantitative tools to assist in providing products and services. And thirdly, it pioneers new computer-based information systems for management. And then what about the contemporary views, the systems theory or the contingency theory as we have discussed? Again, I believe there are some major innovations and contributions here. For example, number one, there's an emphasis that organizations can be visualized as systems of interrelated parts. Secondly, it points out the potential importance of the environment and feedback to organizational success. Thirdly, it argues that there's no one best way to manage and identifies the circumstances or contingencies that influence which particular approach will be effective in any given situation. So all of these various views certainly have their important points and certainly emphasize certain practical application within management theory. I think we would have to say, as we are moving forward in human history and even into new centuries, that management theory continues to respond to the many new challenges which are faced in the corporate world. Monumentous, ongoing changes around the globe are having a profound and immediate impact on modern management. I think we could say there are certain key directives for management theory that you will certainly be reading about and you will certainly come in contact with as you continue your own study of management science, administration, and leadership. In the early 1980s, a book entitled In Search of Excellence by Tom Peters and Robert Waterman was a runaway bestseller. The author studied companies they considered excellent and documented the best of the management practices that these organizations employed. Scholars downplayed the book as non-scientific, subjective, and aimed at managers looking for a quick fix rather than at serious students of the managerial profession. But that book marked the beginning of a long-running campaign on the part of its authors and the millions of managers who take their teachings to heart to strive continually for improvement. Peters and Waterman continue to write in journals, give speeches, upgrade, and update their messages. After some of the companies profiled in their book lost their excellence, they concluded that things were changing so rapidly that no single set of prescriptions, like those presented in their book, are always adequate or appropriate. They began to speak of constant change in the outside world and the need for constant change within organizations. Today, these authors and their followers speak persuasively about global competition, getting close to customers, motivating employees, the need for fast action, and innovation. The goals of excellence and continuous improvement, with an emphasis on the best practices of effective organizations, will permeate effective management theory. Today, one cannot pick up a business newspaper, a magazine, or talk to a manager without hearing about quality. Business Week now has an annual special issue devoted entirely to the topic. The emphasis on the quality of goods and services is being called a management revolution, a United States management revolution, that is. These challenges actually began decades ago in Japan. Although the gurus of quality management are in America, they had to go to Japan in the 1950s to be heard. Eventually, high-quality goods offered by overseas competitors forced United States managers to stop cutting corners and to start improving quality. Many of the contemporary ideas and techniques that we will be discussing throughout this particular discussion of management science will remind you of the classical and contemporary approaches that we have just discussed. Indeed, managers and scholars continue to rely on these foundations for inspiration and perspective. Most students will find it helpful to recall the concepts, contributions, and limitations of original theories as they examine and apply current thinking about management, management practice, and management theory. Perhaps by way of review, although management practices can be traced back to ancient times, much of the impetus for developing management theories and principles grew out of the Industrial Revolution and the need for better ways to run the resulting factory system. Pre-classical contributors such as Robert Owen, Charles Babbage, and Henry P. Towne provided some initial ideas that eventually led to the identification of management as an important field of inquiry. From this base, four major viewpoints have developed: the classical, the behavioral, the quantitative, and the contemporary. The classical viewpoint emphasizes finding ways to manage work and organizations more efficiently and effectively. It includes three different approaches. The scientific management approach, represented by the works of Frederick Winslow Taylor, Franklin Lilith Gilbreth, and Henry Gantt, emphasizes the scientific study of work methods in order to improve work efficiency. The bureaucratic approach, pioneered by Max Weber, focuses on the need for organizations to operate in a rational manner rather than relying on the arbitrary whims of owners and managers. The administrative management approach, supported by Henry Fayol and Chester Bernard, explores principles that can be used by managers to coordinate the internal activities of organizations. The behavioral viewpoint is a perspective that seeks to understand the various factors that affect human beings and organizations. Hugo Munsterberg, Mary Parker Follett were early behaviorists. It was the Hawthorne studies, though, that dramatically demonstrated that workers were more than mere tools of production. Although flawed, the studies produced insights that led to the establishment of the human relations movement with its emphasis on concern for the worker. Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs theory and Douglas McGregor's Theory X and Theory Y provided some guidance for managers, but were still fairly general. The behavioral scientific approach, with its emphasis on scientific research, emerged to build more specific theories about behavior in organizations that can be used to provide practical guidelines for managers. The quantitative viewpoint focuses on the use of mathematics, statistics, and information aids to support managerial decision-making and effectiveness. It has, of course, three main branches. Operations research is an approach aimed at increasing decision effectiveness through the use of sophisticated mathematical models and statistical methods. Operations management is the field of expertise that is primarily responsible for managing the production and delivery of an organization's products and services. The management information systems field focuses on designing and implementing computer-based information systems that can be used by managers. The contemporary viewpoints represent recent major innovation in the ways of thinking about management. They include the systems and contingency theory, as well as emerging views. The systems theory approach is based on the notion that organizations can be visualized as systems, including inputs, transformation processes, outputs, and feedback. Contingency theory argues that appropriate managerial action depends upon the particular parameters of a given situation. Emerging viewpoints include new promising approaches that may be developed in the major viewpoints if research supports their relevance. One important emerging view is Japanese management, represented by Theory Z. This theory combines the positive aspects of American and Japanese management into a model approach appropriate for corporations in the United States. All the major viewpoints contribute significantly to the innovative field of management science, management theory, and management study. Certainly, other viewpoints will likely develop as management and research continues in each of these particular areas. We have reviewed in these last few moments, the major approaches to management of this century, keeping in mind that during the 19th and 20th centuries, the United States saw the emergence of a variety of dynamic developments, including Western expansion, the National Railroad Network, national and urban markets, the application of new technologies, the industrialization of research and development of American business. These forces encouraged many innovations and changes in management techniques. Really, from the mid-19th century through the early 1950s, the classical approaches to management emerged as managers tried to cope with the growth of American industry. Systematic management represents the beginning of formal management through the United States, emphasizing economical operations, adequate staffing, inventory management, and other means of organizational control. It emphasized the internal operations of manufacturing firms because most management problems were focused there. Around the turn of the century, Frederick Taylor introduced scientific management. This approach applied scientific methods to analyze work and determine the one best way to complete production tasks. Scientific management made important contributions, including higher productivity and efficiency. It also was criticized for being too simplistic and ignoring too many important aspects of management, such as external environment and the higher levels of the organization. At about the same time, the administrative management perspective emerged. This approach tried to identify major principles that could achieve superior organizational performance. However, developing and applying universal prescriptions without qualification overshadowed the fact that different situations require different management approaches. In the 1930s, the human relations approach evolved from the Hawthorne studies. The human relations school highlighted the importance of the human element of the organization. However, it made some simplistic prescriptions and ignored economic factors and the formal structure of the organization. By focusing on formal structure, Max Weber attempted to establish an overall management system based on bureaucracy. Bureaucracy allows efficient performance of many routine activities, but it hinders flexibility and tends to ignore the importance of people and interpersonal relationships. The contemporary approaches developed since World War II attempted to overcome the limitations of the classical approaches and to propose valid ideas for modern management. The quantitative management approach, with the aid of modern computers, allows managers to consider many variables as they search for optimum solution to problems. The organizational behavior approach focuses on human behavior and recently adopted a broader and more situational viewpoint. Systems theory, which originated in the 1950s, was a major effort to overcome the limitations of earlier approaches. Systems theory considers organizations as open rather than closed systems, stresses the importance of multiple goals, including effectiveness and efficiency. It recognizes the existence of subsystems within the organization, and it introduced the concept that there's really no best way to reach a given goal, and it stresses the notion of synergy, that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Most recently, the contingency perspective has dominated the study of management. The contingency perspective contends that situational characteristics or contingencies dictate the management strategies, structures, and processes that will be most effective. This approach argues that no universal principle should always be applied. Rather, managers need to analyze the situation and then, based on their analysis of key contingencies, make decisions regarding the most appropriate way to manage. Management thought and practice continue to evolve, certainly as shown by current events and trends, including our global interdependency, the search for excellence, and the qualitative revolution. This brings us to the end of number 5.